You know, the last couple weeks I've been preaching about end time stuff and about the generations that we live in. A couple weeks ago I preached about being spiritually deceived and the deception that goes on with our generation. Last week I compared the generation using Matthew 24. This generation we live in compared to what the generation that Jesus was speaking of being in the last days. And I brought some points out about that. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about the present age. In the book of Titus, if you have your Bibles, we do have it up on the screen, or your phone apps, that's okay. You can follow along. I want to pray first. Heavenly Father, speak through me this morning. Lord, let your words be heard. Lord, I surrender myself to you. Lord, take anything from me that might hinder your Spirit's work being done today in us. Lord, I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." You know, God's Word is a wonderful book of hope. God's Word reveals the hope of forgiveness and eternal life. God's Word gives us the hope of God's promises and the glorious hope of of an eternal kingdom that will never end. Amen. Isn't that a glorious hope? But one of the greatest hopes as believers in Christ is the promise of His return. We've been talking about that. This is the last generation. You know, we've been talking about that. The return of Jesus is not... it's not a superstitious myth. It's not a tall tale. It's a reality that will come to fruition at some point. Okay? But one of our greatest hope as believers is this promise of His return. Amen? It's a great promise. The return of Jesus Christ is not a superstition. And I assure you that the return of Christ is a sure... it's as sure as the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun. It will happen. So to understand the return of Jesus Christ, we got to realize that between now and the day that Jesus returns to this earth as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there are many events that have to take place. There must be an alignment of the 10 kingdoms of the an empire of global authority. From that world empire, a lawless man of great deception will rise up. There must be a signing of a treaty that will begin a 7-year tribulation. There must be world wars and famine and terrible deception and great destruction. These are encouraging words this morning, right? These are just a few of the many coming attractions that must take place before the second coming of Jesus Christ. But there's also one other event. There's one other event that must take place. And for the believer, for us, if you're a believer in Jesus, it is the most exciting event found in the Word of God. It's called the catching away of the saints, or known as the rapture of the church. I believe it is the next great event of God's prophetic calendar. And you know, I'm not a prophetic Bible teacher. I don't do these things, but God has put this on my heart the last 3 weeks to preach the words of Jesus in the Scripture. Bible prophecy reveals the rapture will be the most dramatic, world-shaking event in human history. It will be an event of such magnitude that the world will never again be the same. It will far surpass the event at Pearl Harbor or 9/11 or any other event that's ever happened. It will ultimately divide every person on the earth between those who believe in Jesus Christ and those who don't. Those who believe in Christ and are followers of Christ will instantly vanish from this earth, where we will be immediately ushered into a glorious presence, or the glorious presence of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? I mean, some of you, the wheels are turning. Thinking about this can be overwhelming sometimes, can't it? But this is what the Scripture tells us. Those who reject Christ will be left behind to face a world that will be far different than anything they have ever imagined. Those left behind will confront a new world order of despair and evil and lawlessness and a global demonic ruler will exist. Those left behind will experience the floodgates of God's wrath upon an evil and godless world through 21 divine judgments that are beyond really my ability to even describe. But for those who know Christ, listen, for those of us who know Christ, we have a promise and a blessed hope in the kingdom of glory that will never end. It will never end. And as your pastor and your friend, I preach this message to inspire. I preach it to inspire you to live godly lives. Listen to me this morning. This blessed hope of Christ's return should be something that we are anxious about, something that we're excited about. These times that we see that seem so difficult, that seem so chaotic and so crazy, we watch the news and we're thinking, this can't be right. This can't be real. This can't be happening in our world today. But these things must happen. And Jesus said, just watch out. Lift your heads up and watch out when these things happen. I think to fully understand the return of Jesus Christ, we must first recognize the coming of Christ will take place in two distinct and separate events. Most people know about the second coming of Jesus Christ that happens at the very end of the tribulation when He physically returns. He comes to set up His kingdom for 1,000 years, but there's also another event called the rapture that is different from the second coming. And the rapture is a very unique and special event when Jesus returns for His church in what the Bible calls the great catching away of the saints and our blessed hope. The blessed hope that we call the rapture is the supernatural event that when the Lord Jesus Christ appears in the sky and in a moment, faster than the blink of an eye, it's what it says, He catches away His church to be with Him in His glory forever. When we all get to heaven, you know, the song that was played, what a day of rejoicing that will be. That song was written with an anticipation that this is going to be a great day when we cross over into heaven, right? It's not something to be looking... It's something to be looking forward to, you know? It's sometimes mind-bending. But it's an earth-shattering event that is vividly described in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 18. Where it says, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." Comfort one another with these words. I think there's some powerful points that we must not miss this morning. First, there in verse 16, it reveals that only those who are in Christ will experience this glorious event that we call the blessed hope. The big question is, what does that mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to you? What do you think about when somebody says, are you in Christ or you're not? Are you a believer or are you not a believer? To be in Christ means you have repented of your sins and trusted in Christ alone for salvation. To be in Christ means you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Simple as that. To be in Christ means you believe in His finished work at the cross. To be in Christ means you believe that He physically and bodily rose up from the grave. It means you believe He will return as the eternal King of kings and Lord of lords. It means you believe that. Only those who are in Christ will experience this blessed hope. Can you imagine, within just a blink of an eye, we'll be caught up in the presence of Christ? Whatever you do, make very sure this morning that you're in Christ. Make sure that you know Christ. You know that within your heart. Our blessed hope is a transformation. It's an event where we will be instantaneously changed. Instantly. Paul explains it in 1 Corinthians 15, how in a twinkling of an eye we are instantly transformed from a body of corruption and sin into a brand new perfect body that will last forever. That's what I call the true blessing of hope. Amen. Amen. This old body that we're in now, that we suffer with, that hurts, you know, that it takes 15 minutes to straighten up when you get out of bed in the morning, you know, to the coffee pot, you know. And then, you know, a lot of us survive on coffee in Jesus, you know. All that pain and suffering that we go through, not only emotionally, physically and emotionally both, it won't be there any longer. Because in the presence of Jesus, all that's gone. It no longer exists. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." And it is to us a lot, right? A mystery. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." In the twinkling of an eye, we will instantly be changed. You know, I'm looking at the Greek word for twinkling. Atomos is what the word is, which is where we get the word atom. And that meaning is this event will happen so quickly with such a supernatural speed that it will happen faster than the blink of an eye. In a moment, faster than time can be measured, we will be instantly transformed from this old body of sin into a new heavenly body to meet the Lord in the air, where we will be in His eternal and glorious presence forever and ever. You know, here in the present, we're just here for a short time. Our life is just a moment, as the Scripture says, and it's been preached many times at many funerals, that we're just here for a moment. We're just a vapor. But eternity is forever. There's no end to it. What will it be like when we're transformed into a new body? 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Amen?
Amen.
For those who are in Christ, at the moment of the rapture, we will be transformed into a new perfect body, just like Jesus. It will be a perfect body, a glorious body, a body that will never know sin or sickness or pain or sorrow. It will be a heavenly body that will last forever. And this is why I'm so excited about the future. I really am. I could get caught up in the doom and gloom of CNN and all those, the news. I'm not going to get all political this morning, but I could real quick. I did get a little specific there, didn't I? Sorry. I'm just saying, okay? I'm not going to retract that statement, though. I'm here to preach the truth. But what my point is we can get caught up in all the negative and all the garbage of this world, and we can let it control our lives when we should be looking for the glorious coming of the Lord. The blessed hope, the thing that we've been waiting on, that we're waiting for. As you've already noticed, the word rapture is not in the Scripture. It's not found anywhere in the Bible. And there's a lot of skeptics out there that really take great delight in trying to disprove that the rapture will even take place. They say there's no such thing as a rapture. But let me tell you, that's not true. The word rapture is not found in the English Bible because it's not an English word. The word rapture is a Latin word translated from the Greek word harpazo, found in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, which means take out or to snatch away without warning. Okay? It's from the Greek word that we get the Latin word rapture. It means the same thing. Or our English phrase, caught up. Caught up. Found in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The point is, though, although the word rapture is not there, it's very clear in the teaching of the Bible that it does happen. That the rapture is there. But why is the rapture so important for us? Why should I be preaching all this? Does it really matter to us? Huh? It kind of does, doesn't it?
It kind of does.
Yeah. Why should we be looking out for the blessed hope? I think I kind of already said that, because if we get caught up in all the garbage that goes on in this world, it makes our life miserable. It really does. I mean, there's a lot of junk in this world that can really make us miserable. The rapture is important because the rapture is God's fulfilled promise to deliver the church from the coming wrath and judgment of God upon this whole earth. You remember what I talked about last week? You remember? Noah? And as it was in the days of Noah, that generation would be like that. You remember when God had Noah build this big old boat? And then he allowed Noah and his sons, his wife and his sons and his, you know, their wives to get on the boat to save them from the coming judgment. And he shut the door and he saved them. The rapture's like that for us. That's what the rapture's like. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who rescues, in other words, us from the wrath to come. This is God's promise to deliver those who love Jesus from the terrible wrath that will soon come upon the whole world, and God will not forsake His promise. Amen?
Amen.
He will not forsake His promise. God does not break His promises. Revelation 3:10 says, because you have kept my command to preserve, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Man, that's a wonderful promise right there. The word from, I like this. I like looking at words. The word from is a Greek word, ek. Now, ek or ek, however you want to say that. But it's ek, which means to physically remove something or to take something out of. Okay? In other words, Jesus is saying, I will take you out of the world and keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world. That's a great promise right there, isn't it? I will take you out of this world so that you don't have to endure the wrath that is to come. That's a great promise. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking. The rapture of the church is not something we are to fear or to dread. It is a blessed hope of God's glorious promise that should give us encouragement, that should be, you know, something exciting to look at. And this is why Jesus said in Luke 21:36, watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You think about this for a moment. Jesus warned of a future generation that would be so bad that we should pray to escape all that would come upon the whole world. Man, we think it's bad now. Just think of that. Just think what it's going to be like then. I believe we're at that generation right now. I said that last week. I really do. I believe we're at that generation right now. And we should pray for and look forward to the coming of Christ. The rapture is important because when it happens, it'll literally be like a life-changing event. It will trigger the final days, the last days, as it said. The rapture will be the catalyst that sets everything into hyperdrive motion. It will set into motion the economic collapse of the world governments, which is all in the Scripture. All this is written. It will set into motion the rise of the world dictator known as the Antichrist. It will set into motion a 7-year tribulation of such unimaginable wrath and hardship that Jesus said it would be the worst time in human history. That's why we are encouraged to look for our blessed hope in Jesus Christ, because He's gave us a promise that we will not have to endure any of that. Man, you guys are quiet now. I know this is kind of crazy sometimes when you read some of these things. And very importantly, the wonderful good news is that believers in Christ, we're not looking for the coming of wrath. We're not looking for the coming of the wrath of God. We're looking to join Him in His eternal hope, this blessed place called heaven. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout for victory. Amen? I mean, that's the blessed hope. Jesus said, when you see all these things happening, the wars and the rumors of wars and all the manipulation of the truth and all these things going to chaos, the pestilence, you know, the COVID thing and all that kind of stuff, they'll continue to get worse and worse as time goes on. It's not that things haven't happened before. It's just now they're on a scale like none before. It's happening more and more and more like we've never seen it before in history. Jesus said, when you see all these things happening, lift up your head, for your redemption is very nigh. He's coming soon. That brings us to the question, how will the rapture trigger end time events? In your mind, just imagine a day like any other day. Has anybody ever seen the Left Behind movie series? You ever watch that? You read the book? Man, you read about that. In one moment of time, airline pilots disappear. People driving cars just disappear. Can you imagine the chaos that happens? The chaos that would take place. There's groups of people today, and you can find them. There's groups of people today that are trying to think, you know, they're going to open they're going to say aliens did it. It's going to be a chaotic time. It's crazy. Can you imagine what happens at the hospitals if all of a sudden half of the doctors and nurses and staff are gone? Can you imagine those conversations? Classrooms will suddenly be without teachers and students. What scares me the most is I wonder how many churches, we'll be serious a moment, I wonder how it'll affect the churches. There'll be people sitting in pews, sitting in chairs, and half their congregation will be gone. And they'll be looking around thinking, where's John? Where'd John go? Is he sick today? Or maybe it just happens like right now today. Within 60 seconds. Every person on planet Earth will be affected by this event. I think it'll be chaotic. There'll be panic. There'll be all kinds of stuff going on at that moment. The world economy will collapse, and governments and nations will seek to deal with the devastation, and that's when the rise of the Antichrist will come. He'll have the answers. In a split second of time, I always think that, in a split second of time, things will change forever and ever. I think it's something we should never overlook. The world will be cast into a spiritual darkness unlike anything ever seen before. You know, those who rejected Jesus will quickly discover they have been left behind to face the nightmare of the tribulation. Man, can you imagine realizing that? Can you imagine realizing that, man, I just missed it? Man, that's hard to imagine, isn't it? But glory to God. Those who are caught up to meet the Lord will experience the fullness of God's glorious blessings. That blessed hope that is a promise to every believer. The great hope is so amazing with its glory and truth that Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4:18 to encourage each other with this promise. As I hope that I'm encouraging you today. Because for some, it's really scary. It's really scary. But those who believe, it is a blessed hope. It is a promise. It should give you encouragement. It should give you peace in your heart, knowing that I am a child of God. And I don't have to deal with any of that. When Jesus comes for His bride, the church, He will come suddenly, and He will come without warning to snatch us away to His dwelling place for eternity. This is why we are to be looking for, waiting for, and longing for the blessed hope of Jesus Christ. I can give you several reasons, but the most important reason is, why should we be looking? That's the question. And I can give you some reasons, but if you're not looking for Jesus Christ, then most likely you're not prepared for His coming. That's really the biggest one. And that would be a terrible tragedy to me. It really. So whatever you do this morning, whatever you do, remember this, those who are not in Christ will be left behind, and whatever you do, do not be the one that is left behind. So I would say, in closing this morning, very soon the trumpet of God will call. The trumpet will call, and it will sound. Jesus Christ, our Savior and the King, will suddenly appear in the sky, and with a heavenly command, He will shout, "Come up here." Come on. It's time. And in the twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be instantly changed from a mortal, corrupt body of sin to an eternal, immortal body of glory. In an instant, faster than time can be measured, we will rise up with believers from all over the world to meet our eternal Lord and Savior in the air. We'll rise to meet the Lamb of God who took away our sins. We'll rise to meet the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we'll rise up to meet the Lion of Judah, the tribe of Judah. We'll rise up to meet the Prince of Peace, who is our eternal hope.
Amen.
We will rise up to meet the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And your destiny is at stake this morning. So I ask you, if Jesus came in the next 60 seconds this morning, would you be ready? Would you be ready? Would you be ready? Would you be caught up to meet Him in the air in the rapture? Or would you be left behind? I guess that's the biggest question to ask anybody. That's why I'm so compelled to preach the gospel truth to anybody I meet. Because let me tell you, I believe this stuff.
Amen.
I don't get up here and just tell a story about something that might happen. I believe within all my being that one day God will appear in all His glory. Because I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't really believe what I was preaching about, would I? Romans 10:9 says this, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus as, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You hear that? If you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's just that easy. It's just that easy. I know many of you have been in this church for a long time. And you know where your heart is with God. I don't know a man's heart. I'm not here to judge a man or a woman, a feller or a fellette, okay? I like to laugh, but it's really not a joking matter when it comes to your eternity. You know, I like to be real because I'm just another real guy living in a real world trying to get to heaven the best way I know how, and that's through Jesus Christ because of what the Word of God says. I'm just a human, just like everybody else. So leave here encouraged this morning. And if you believed in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you can leave here saved today. You can leave here knowing that you don't have to worry about the wrath of God or any of that that's going to happen. You know that your eternity is sealed and that you're going to be with Him forever with no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death. And that sounds like a pretty good place to me, right? Amen. That's it right there. It's not as hard as it sounds. I'll close with this. Jesus said, two will be on the house, one will be taken, one will be left. Two working in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. That gives a statistical numbers of 50%. That's a pretty tough number right there to think. So, but I love you guys. Don't be mad at me for preaching. Okay? I do. Read your Bibles. Open up your Bibles and read. Yeah. Study the Word. Yeah. You'll see what I'm talking about, how it all comes together. From Genesis to Revelation, it is all one great story that all comes together. And it's a plan of salvation, a plan of mercy and grace and love beyond any other. And so I just challenge you to read and study the Word. And I'll let you get going because Don's souls, you know, they're going to get busy. And so let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, again, I just thank you so much for your Word, Lord. Lord, let us leave here better than we came. Lord, with love in our heart. Lord, let us love one another. Lord, let us encourage one another onto godliness and love and righteousness, Lord, that only comes from you. Lord, we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.